Thank you for joining me today on the Manifest Telecast for a very special prophetic update, as we have been dealing with a series from the book of Daniel, and that will be our offer, of course, at the end of the program. Recently, as most of the world, I'm sure, is aware of, unless you live in an area where there's no internet or television, there was an attack from the country of Iran directly against the nation of Israel. And we kept hearing the news say, this is unprecedented, we've never seen anything like this. And it was something that a lot of people hoped that would not happen. However, the Bible indicates, as I'm going to show you, that there is coming a major conflict, and we have not seen it, called the War of Gog and Magog. Now, I do know this, that especially on YouTube channels and even television programs, everybody's talking about the War of Gog of Magog. However, let me make something very clear, and I'll prove this in a moment. What you saw take place is not the Battle of Gog of Magog. It is only a skirmish compared to what we will see in the future, and I'm going to show you what is going to be different about what you recently saw with missiles and drones flying in versus what is actually going to happen somewhere in the future. Now, to begin with, it's very important that we take you to the actual scriptures where this prediction is alluded to. Now, one of the things that's extremely interesting is that if you look at the Islamic religion, Christianity, and Judaism, believe this or not, all three of those monotheistic religions have a belief on a battle of Gog and Magog. Now, when you look at what they teach about it, the Muslims teach it just a little bit different than the Christians do, and the Christians teach it perhaps a little bit different than the Jews do, but both the Christians and the Jews refer back to Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 when talking about this battle. It is also true that in most instances, if a IDF, Israeli Defense Force leader, a commander, whether they be a general or a colonel, is devout, a religious devout Jew or a practicing Jew, we would call it in their religion, they are also very aware of the prediction by this prophet by the name of Ezekiel, whose book is found in what we call the Old Testament. So what we want to do is we want to take you there for a moment and share with you some very interesting points. A lot of these points are not being made by individuals who teach on this. They stick with certain aspects of it. And basically, everybody's kind of on the same level with the same idea and same theological theories. We're going to point some things out. Now, let's go to Ezekiel 38, verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, and the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Now, those first three verses are very, very significant for several reasons. First of all, the Gog of Magog. Gog is called a prince. And let me say it again. Gog, G-O-G, in the King James translation, is called a prince, and he is a prince of Meshech and Tubal. Now, the very idea of the name Gog is interesting, because God begins to tell the prophet, this is that one of which I spoke of in the ancient times or the earlier days, even prior to the time of the prophet Ezekiel. Of course, it was the name of an individual found in the Old Testament, but let's go a step further. If we begin to look at Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, this is an end time battle that may be connected to either the start of the tribulation or prior to the tribulation. And so this is the time frame of which is set when Israel has come back from captivity, when Israel is dwelling safe in the land, and based on Ezekiel chapter 37, when Israel is a great army. So this would be something that would happen in our day and time. However, when you come into the book of Revelation and you begin to read about how during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, Satan is bound in the abyss 1,000 years, and then Satan is loosed at the end of the 1,000 years to go forth to tempt the nations, it says that he brings Gog and Magog, and they come against the camp of the saints in the city of Jerusalem. Now, people sometimes confuse this, and they say, well, the Ezekiel battle of chapter 38 and 39 must be the same battle of Revelation. It is not. They are separated by at least 1,000 years. The battle in Ezekiel is at the end of the thousand-year reign. I'm sorry, the battle in Revelation is at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and the battle of Ezekiel is a last-day battle. Now, I'm saying that for a reason, so stay with me, because this is very important. I believe personally that when you look at the word chief prince, that Gog is a demonic principality. Now, where do I get that from? If you go to Daniel chapter 10 and you read the book of Daniel, it says that there was a prince of the kingdom of Persia that restrained the angel of the Lord from bringing an answer to Daniel in the area of Babylon. And he restrained the angel in the atmosphere for 21 days. He is called, and this is a demonic power, a demonic principality, Ephesians 6 and 12. This is a spirit of the kingdom of the empire of Persia. That's very important. And then in Daniel chapter 10, the angel tells Daniel, when the Persian prince is finished, the prince of Greece will come. Now remember, it's not talking there about a human man. It's talking about a prince spirit, a demonic power. Then when you go into Daniel chapter 12, and also God mentions this to Daniel in chapter 10, Michael, your prince. Michael, the prince of your people. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1 even calls Michael the prince. Now, who is Michael? Michael is, in the book of Jude, the archangel of the Lord, the chief warring angel based on Revelation 12 that deals specifically with Satan himself. So Michael is called a prince, there, and he's an angel of God. Then there is an evil demonic prince of Persia and an evil demonic prince of Greece. Now, the reason I'm telling you all that is because when you see that in the scripture that the Gog is mentioned in Ezekiel, but then it's mentioned again by name in the book of Revelation, it is more than likely a demonic prince spirit. So Gog, instead of being a man, is the spirit or the chief prince over the northern nations that are above Israel. Now we know that because there are principalities and powers and rulers of darkness that rule in the heavenly places. And in Greek, the word principality is translated in the Greek Bible as governments. It actually can read, we wrestle against governments. And more literally, we wrestle against the spirit that is directing a particular government. So every major empire of prophecy had a chief spirit over it. A prince of Persia for the Persian Empire, a prince of Grecia for the Grecian Empire. There would have been a prince of Babylon for the Babylonian Empire. So they have a chief prince over it, and Satan is the commander above all of them. He is the chief leader. Now, the reason I want to share that with you is I want to go back into this verse and tell you that there will be a spirit that will be directing this battle. And the spirit's name is Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Now, why is it important to talk about the country of Iran? Well, first of all, you have to understand that when you talk about Iran, that was the name given it on March the 21st, 1935, by Reza Shah. A Shah is like saying a president or a leader. So that area, what we call today Iran, used to be ruled by monarchies or kings. We would call them a king today, like a monarchy, one person. And in 1979, under the Iranian Islamic Revolution, the Shah was disposed of. He was taken out of the country and thrown out. And that's when the more fanatical elements took over the U.S. Embassy, if you'll remember. And when Ronald Reagan became president, those hostages were released. Jimmy Carter made attempts to release them. He was totally, completely unsuccessful. But they were released under President Ronald Reagan. So from that time of the Iranian Revolution of 1979 to this day, there has been a real division in the country. Now, you don't see the people protesting, because if they protest, they go to prison and they're tortured in Iran, and that's a fact. But you have a fanatical Shia religious group in the country of Iran, but the predominant part, the predominant group of Muslims in the world are called Sunni Muslims, and we think that's probably about 80 to 82%. So the main Shia Islamic nation is Iran, but they have proxies in Lebanon and Syria, and they have proxies in Yemen as well, the Houthis. So we've heard that on the news. So let's go back to this, because we don't want to run out of time, definitely what I'm about to share with you. Why is it interesting that we talk about the country of Iran right now, especially in connection with the events taking place? Because Iran is the nation of Persia. Now, let me give you an example. The name Persia is mentioned in the Bible 29 times, but the Persians are mentioned two times in the Bible. So when it's talking about the Persian Empire, it mentions Persians, but when it talks about the nation as a whole historically, it's called the country of Persia. Now that is interesting because when you go to Ezekiel 30 and 39 and you read about the war that's going to take place, look at the first nation mentioned. It says, I'm going to bring down, first nation, Persia, the country of Iran today. It's the Persians. Number two is Ethiopia. That's in northern Africa. Number three is Libya. That nation is in northern Africa. All of them with shield and helmet, meaning all of them in armament. Then Gomer and all of his bands and the house of Togarma. Now, Togarma is the area of Armenia and Turkey today. And we don't have time to go into all of this. Other teachers do that, do an expert job of that. And of the North Quarters. Now, the North Quarters would be the Afghanistan area, which is a little bit more to the east. But all of those southern Russian states are predominantly background from the Ottoman Turkish Empire, which was an Islamic empire. So we have a whole list of what we call a coalition, which will be organized, most scholars believe, by the nation of Persia, which today, let me say it again, which today is the country of Iran. Now, what is interesting is when you look at these nations, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, when you look at Turkey, and when you look at the area north, which is, again, southern Russian states, which were a part of the Ottoman Turkish Empire, then you have an Islamic coalition. There's not one Western coalition aligned with Persia when this takes place. Now, what is interesting is if you go back in earlier history, some of these nations, like Ethiopia, had many Jewish people living in it, were very friendly to Jews. Before Gaddafi took over, Libya was the same way. Persia or Iran has historically had Jewish people living in it and was very friendly to the Jews until the revolution of 1979, and all of that shifted and all of that began to change. So the reason everyone is so interested in Iran getting involved with a war with Israel is because this battle of Ezekiel 38 and 39 is a war in Israel led by Persia and an Islamic coalition. Now, what we saw recently, let me make this very clear, what we saw recently take place in Israel is not, it may be an open door to what will later be the war of Gog and Magog, but it is not the battle of Gog and Magog. It was not the battle of Gog and Magog. How do I know that? Because all the other countries, Ethiopia, Libya, Gomer, Togarma, were not involved in that battle at all. That was simply it was bad, but those were drones and missiles which were sent in, hundreds of them from Persia or Iran into Israel. So it was the beginning of something, but it was like not what is specifically mentioned here in Scripture. Now, this is interesting. This is the Lord talking. I will turn you back, put hooks in your jaw, and bring you forth. Now, I'm going to make a speculation here. This is not from the Holy Spirit telling me this. This is not a prophecy. So please don't say, Perry Stone prophesied on his program. People are so used to people making statements and making it a prophecy when it's not. It is an observation and a possible speculation. I don't like to do this, but reading this verse, something begins to happen in this battle. First of all, the two areas where the battle is the strongest with this future Islamic coalition is the Golan Heights, or what is called the Bashan. The Bashan or Golan Heights is northern Israel, and it connects to the border of Lebanon and the border of Syria. Now, also, there's a place called the Valley of the Passengers on the east of the sea. This would be on the east side of the Dead Sea, and that is the country of Jordan. Now, oddly enough, Jordan is not mentioned in this battle. In fact, if you'll go to the book of Daniel, the country of Jordan escapes the hand of the Antichrist in the tribulation. And that's a whole nother message. And the Jordanians are very friendly to the Israelis. They have, the younger generation has a lot of friends connected in Jordan and Israel. It's a lot different than it used to be years ago. So my point is that when you look at this, it says that God is going to, it looks like you're going to come in, and then God's going to pull you back, and then he's going to bring you down with a hook in your jaw. The hook in the jaw, I believe, is food. And you know, Persia or Iran some time back had a wheat rust that hit their wheat. But I believe it's very possible if nuclear installations in the future are struck by, let's say, Israel, speculation here, then it would pollute a lot of the land in Persia, and they would need food because they have millions of people in their population. So that would cause the hook in the jaw to come into two parts of Israel, the Golan Heights, which has tons of farms in the lower part, up in the Upper Galilee, we call it, just all kinds of farms and food everywhere, and fruit trees and apple trees and orange and lemons and all that, avocados. Then where the Valley of the Passengers is, along the Dead Sea, there's a rift that runs along the Jordan River that half of it's Israel, half of it's Jordan, and that is the greatest farming territory in the country. It's nothing but farms when you come from Galilee and drive to Jericho. It's just farms the entire way. So Persia and some of these other nations, especially Persia, something's going to happen where they're going to need food in the future, and God is going to allow the hook in the jaw to bring them in. Now, there's so much more here that will come in the latter days, and they will descend as an entire army of coalition, a coalition army in northern Israel and also on the Valley of the Passengers on the east side of the sea. Now, we could get battle maps out and we can go into detail, but let me make an observation here, another observation. It's very important. It is very clear now that Persia knows, Iran knows this. They can never win an air battle with Israel. Israel has weapons, and I'm not even going to go into that and get in trouble, but Israel has weapons they've never revealed. They have weapons they've never used because they don't want to show their hand until they get into this big war. The Bible says the land in the north, which is the Golan Heights or the Bashan, will be so polluted that they will not even bury people for 7 months. This implies some type of either radiation or some type of a chemical weapon that the land is polluted. After 7 months, they hire men to go and put signs up after this battle is over to bury people, and it takes them 7 years to get rid of the weapons. Now that, I believe, might be the 7-year treaty of Daniel 9:27 that the Antichrist and his coalition will make with Israel. That's very possible because it's very interesting. It's mentioned at the end of this war of Ezekiel 30 and 39, at the end of the 7 months, where they're burying everybody. You know, the world's going to force Israel. This is what's going to happen. When this battle takes place, 5/6 of all these armies are destroyed. Israel survives supernaturally by the help of God. And God will tell you in the scriptures how he will supernaturally come through. There'll be earthquakes, there'll be volcanic eruptions, there'll be all kinds of supernatural activity taking place that God will defeat those invading armies. It'll be God, because God said he wants his name glorified. But here's my point. Persia knows you will never win an air battle with Israel. You can have all the weapons you want, all the missiles you want. If Israel wants to unleash everything just with their own military, you're wiped out. So what do you do? You go with a land battle. And this is why they bring these hordes. It says like a cloud, they storm into the country. And there literally could be up to 1 million troops coming against the Israelis, the IDF, in this battle. And there could be even more than that, depending on the number of troops that are aligned with it. So the battle has got to become eventually a ground battle from different directions, from the south, from the east, from the north especially, and all of them coming in at one time with the coalition of all of these armies and military. And so this is what you're seeing now is not the battle of Gog and Magog, but what you're seeing that's going to happen in the future will eventually take place. Now, people have asked me, and I'm going to try to conclude with this, so stay with me for just a moment. People have asked me, do I believe that the rapture happens either before this, during this, or after this? And the answer is, you don't know. However, when it takes 7 years to destroy the weapons, you have Daniel 9:27, the 1 week or 7 year treaty that's made, and you have the first part of the tribulation being 42 months, the second half being 42 months, with the Antichrist invading Israel in the middle of the tribulation period. So the point is that when you look at these verses, and man, there's so much here, the bulls of Bashan and and God sending the eagles in to eat the flesh of captains and kings. I mean, there's so much here. You could actually do probably a four-hour special just on Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. But if you go to 37, chapter 37, the Valley of Dry Bones, it's about the Holocaust and how Israel returns. God raises them up. They become a great army, and they're no longer a divided nation between the northern and southern kingdom. That happened. Then you come to the War of Gog and Magog. We see that being set up. And we're not at it, but it's going to be set up in the future. But then after the War of Gog and Magog, you see chapter 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, a temple built in Jerusalem, which is the temple of the Messiah. And this has to do with the 1,000-year reign when Jesus comes back to rule and reign for the 1,000 years. So all that chapter 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, all relates to the day and time of which we're living in, what we've seen and what we're going to see in the very near future. Now, this is very important what I'm going to share with you, and I want you to just please give me your undivided attention. We have a resource that we taped using props, using maps, and it deals with the book of Daniel. I want to implore you to get this. It will cover information about what's about to happen, the 10 kings, the Antichrist, the empires, the prophecy, all this, that you can't get just on a manifest telecast, okay? The second thing I want to tell you, which is very, very important, for us to continue on many of our stations, we never ask for help. We've never done this before, but we know a lot of our, 60% of my partners have now gone to be with the Lord. Now, we have a partnership where many are joining, but we're going to have your help and support to keep Manifest on the air, and you need to contact our office to do that. But one of the ways you do it is by purchasing the resource material. So I hope you'll take advantage of what you're about to see. Make that call, go online at perrystone.org, and help us to keep the program on the air, not only here, but you got to understand, we're reaching millions in the world, and so many are being saved. We want to continue to get the word out of the coming of the Lord in the last days. So if you've enjoyed the program, let us know it, and watch this, and I'll be back in a few moments.
Does prophetic symbolism of beasts and horns confuse you? Do you question what is coming and how it impacts you? Perry's prophetic offer is a detailed teaching from the apocalyptic book of Daniel, Unsealing the Daniel Cipher, a 2-DVD, 4-hour prophetic series using maps, charts, graphics, and props, with numerous scriptures to illustrate this urgent right now teaching. Many of your complicated questions will be answered after viewing this series. Perry unlocks the concealed cipher in the book of Daniel, linking it with the book of Revelation. Perry explains Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar's visions and dreams, which revealed the future. He will detail the Antichrist symbolism, his headquarters, and formation of a final kingdom. Perry also explains which nations will eventually fall and how frightened citizens will flee their country. He will list and expound upon numerous individual plots and plans of the future beast system. Learn the nations that will suffer the most when Daniel's visions are unsealed on the earth. Discover the identity of the 10 horns and the nations that unite as a dangerous force at the time of the end. Receive new understanding as Perry explains the meaning of specific Aramaic and Hebrew words. See how the West and East will be divided and how Islam and Christianity come into play. Understand how the Antichrist will arise from one of four nations as described in Daniel's vision. Perry explains the dream of the tree stump, which most ministers seldom teach. Discover these insights and so much more. This teaching is a spiritual investment into life-changing knowledge. The offer 2DV101 is available for a donation of $30 or more, which helps keep Manifest coming to you each week. Order now by calling 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. Or go online to perrystone.org. You can also order the 2-DVD set by writing and sending a check to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. This entire teaching is also available as video on demand by visiting our website. We look forward to hearing from you today.
You know, the book of Daniel itself says that in the last days, men shall run to and fro and knowledge will be increased. And it's amazing that as events begin to unfold, we are better, we actually are better in our understanding and our knowledge of what those events are and how they can be interpreted in light of Bible prophecy. This is why sometimes we focus our resources on very specific places in the Bible or books of the Bible to help you expand your knowledge and your understanding. I'm very excited. This will be, the Lord willing, as far as we know, possibly the last week you'll be able to obtain this on Manifest, unsealing or unlocking the Daniel cipher, prophetic understanding was sealed until the time of the end, Daniel 12 and verse 4. Now the contents of the book of Daniel can be understood. I promise you they can. So here's our 4 hours, two DVD teaching, and we would love for you to be able to get it, because let me tell you what it does. When a lot of people order our material, it helps us to be able to keep the program on the air around the world. And like I told you last week, we're on in a lot of nations being translated into the language of that particular nation, and doors are opening for us consistently. We'd love to be able to step in those doors, and we will do so as the Lord permits and wills, and as the finances are made available. You know, it's so exciting to be able to go and travel and physically still have the strength to travel in many of our conferences. And we also want to mention, in fact, I want them to put on the lower third the places that we're going to be coming up soon while I'm talking. And let me just mention something. In the month of October, October 1 through 5, will be our Awaken America Conference with me, Jensen Franklin, Mario Morello, Lance Walnow, and Joseph Z. And we have Linda Cooley doing the praise and worship, which is awesome. And then we have a special under the big tent on Saturday honoring the veterans. So all the veterans that are there on Saturday at the Fall Festival will be honored. And so I'd like to have you to be able to come. Now, let me talk to you about registration. What we're discovering in our registration, and we've seen this for years, is that people will say, we're going to go to the Perry Stone Conference. Do you want to go? Yeah. So they'll register 20 people, but the 14 of them won't show up and the other six will. So we get a false registration. Here's the problem with that. We could have announced it in Chattanooga and Athens and had someone replace those that didn't come, but we didn't know it. So I'm going to ask all of you, if you ever register for anything at Omega Center International, whether it's the main event, whether it's the Prophetic Summit, or if it's Warrior Fest, only register yourself or your husband or you and your friend, and don't do the registrations for everybody else. Let them register on their own, and that way we can probably get a more accurate registration. Why do we do that? Because we have to set up the cafe, we have to set up the food trucks, we have to set up the chairs and the seating, and so you don't want to overrun your registration, but you don't want to underdo it as well. Our building is always filled. Warrior Fest is filled, the summit is completely filled, and these main events are as well. So we want you to be a part, and we have so many people every time we have an event that say, I've never been here before, and we're coming back, and that means a lot. So we're thankful for all the new friends we have on YouTube, we have on the Perry Stone Ministries Facebook page, and we have that watch the Manifest telecast. We are global. We are around the world. And it's a great blessing that so many of you are being touched and helped through the ministry. So we're going to be coming to Texas. We're going to be coming down to Florida. We're going to be coming to Arkansas, Louisville, Kentucky, Huntington, West Virginia. Go to perrystone.org on your computer or phone and look up itinerary, and it will tell you where we're going to be coming to. And we would love to have you join us live. It's so different live than it is watching on TV. That's the truth. See you next week.